Blind Cool Tech 198, October 29, 2005. Music by Andre Lewis.
Welcome to Blind Cool Tech, a podcast that captures aspects of everyday life from a blind person's perspective. Your host for Blind Cool Tech is Larry Skutkan, but you will often hear submissions from other blind people as well. So sit back and enjoy Blind Cool Tech.
All right. Thank you, Jamie. That submission was... That intro was submitted by Jamie Pauls, as you probably recognized his voice. And Jamie, you actually inspired me to come up with a couple of submissions and some ideas about some intro and extro stuff. And I've been working on it a little bit, and I just actually talked to Carol Stewart over at APH, and she's agreed to trade out with me for some of her voice for some of my technical expertise. I'm going to help her get a podcast set up for some of the some of her things that she's interested in, and she's going to do some voiceovers for me. So that sounds really cool. I'd like to also show you a couple other intros I made and maybe get your opinions on them. And I would also like to point you to the music of Andre Lewis at andrelewis.com. That's A-N-D-R-E-L-O-U-I-S.com. One of these submissions is another piece from his website. Let's start with the first one. Well, that wasn't it. This is it. It's that time again. Time for Blind Cool Tech. The podcast about blind people, for blind people, fun, entertainment, education. It's Blind Cool Tech. And here's the host of your show, Larry Skutkan. And this is a musical piece, again, by Andre Lewis. This is one he has called 17 Days. I really like that music. It's a little bit funky. Kind of reminds me a little, for some reason, of Sanford and Son. And then I've got one more here that's actually not music so much, but turns out to be a pretty cool intro, so here it is. That's right. It's time for another edition of Blind Cool Tech, the podcast about blind people, for blind people. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's educational. It's Blind Cool Tech. And here's the host of your show, Larry Skutkan. And that one, I can't decide which one to use of those, if any. Of course, I'd have, you know, a professional narrator on there introducing it. Hopefully Carol. In fact, I'm sure it'll be Carol. Also got an interview lined up with her this week. So she's going to talk to us about her experiences as a professional narrator for the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. And some of her interests and hobbies. She's a really, really neat lady. She's actually the director of the studio over at APH now. So we'll be looking forward to that. Got a good show lined up for you today. We're changing format just a little bit. I think what we're going to try to do is, well, we've got two related articles here. So we're going to combine them into one show. We've got a submission about a software package called VPod from David Law, and then one about using iTunes to update your iPod from Jamie Pauls. So let's go ahead and we're also going to try to get some feedback in here too. Before we do that, I would like to play Mystery Sound number 7, submitted by Rob Meredith. Listen close, this is a short one. If you know what that sound is, be sure and give us a call on the audio comment line, 206-984-9203. So let's go ahead and get started with the David Law submission.
Hello, this is David Law, and I'm doing a review of the VPod version 0.60 software for Windows XP and 2000 platforms. What VPod does is it is a software used to transport your files to and from your iPod. Now, I'm using the iPod Shuffle, which has 5 buttons and no display, and actually it is very inherently accessible, but iTunes makes it so that, well, you can't really access it that great, at all with the iTunes software without accessible scripts. Now, I went a roundabout way and am using iPodder to download MP3s, but until this software, I've not found a good solution for transporting the files onto the iPod. Winamp 5.1 does have a plugin, but the plugin is kind of hard to get, and actually there is no way to get into the secondary context menus in Winamp without actually right-clicking on the appropriate area in the little playlist editor to get the Send To menu to pop up. Now, Shift F10 doesn't do it, or the secondary Windows key does not do it. So, this VPod software is very useful in that regard. So, let's go ahead and start up the software. I have a shortcut already made on my Start menu, and it's renamed Easy for me to remember. So, in your case, it will be under your Start menu and under the VPod Summit menu. So let's go ahead and start this now.
Start menu. My computer. M. Access iPod. A. Enter. Leaving menus. Start button. To open, press Enter. VPod dialog. Artists page. VPod : backup iPod. Dialog. Would you like to make a backup of your iPod's database before using it with VPod? If something goes wrong, you can restore this later to fix the problem. I recommend it. Yes button. To activate, press spacebar. Alt Y.
Now this is already formatted, so I'm just going to choose no.
No button. To activate, press spacebar. Alt space. Tree 1. Tree view. To move through or expand items, use the arrow keys.
Now, I have a little bit of vision remaining, so I can kind of see what's on the screen right now. The window pane is empty, and from memorization now, there's only about 4 menus on the menu bar, and it's very basic and pretty self-explanatory, but we're going to go through the few menu options here.
Menu bar, file, to navigate, press left, menu, add files to library, .. to move through items, press up or down arrow.
Now, this can pop up the browse dialog, and, well, you can just add artists and lists, playlists.
Save selections as playlist, .. exit. Select all.
This is under the edit menu.
Select none. Reset selection. Remove selected from library. Select all.
Okay, that goes back to wrapping on menus.
Select iPod drive ...
Now, with this, you want to do this very first thing you do when you start the application. It's the third menu in and out of 4. And I already have mine selected. It's on E drive. But that's very important that you first mount your drive.
Unmount iPod.
Yeah, this is not really recommended unless you want to switch off to another device.
Remove orphan files.
This is useful for deleting duplicate files.
Synchronize ...
Now, this synchronize button, actually, it was very tricky. I was looking for a button to upload, send, but the synchronize actually does it all for you. It's going to delete the files, upload them, and make all the requested changes that you would like in one swift action. And it's all going to be done in a questionnaire dialog box. So let's go through this real quick. And the help menu, we're really not going to bother with. Let's go back.
Select add files to library dot dot dot. Enter. Leaving menus. Tree 1 tree view. To move through or expand items, use the arrow keys. Browse for folder dialog. Tree view. Roy Masters opened. One.
And we're going to...
Cancel to activate press space bar. My received podcast closed. 11 of 12.
So what we're going to do is go into podcasts.
My received level 7 between the lines. Blind access journal 2 of 19. Blind cool tech 3. Blind cool tech 3 of 9. Enter. 75%. Tree 1 tree view. Larry Scutcheon. To move through or expand items, use the arrow...
Now, what we want to do, if we want to add this to our playlist, just want to check it.
Space, 4%. Larry Scutcheon open checked. One item.
Now, the 4% you heard is the use of the drive itself, how much is going to be used. We would just want to, let's go ahead and
menu bar.
Go
menu,
to the library.
Add files to library. Enter. Leaving menus.
And
level 7. CNET Newscom Daily Tech News. Digital Media Cast Experiment.
Select
enter.
A couple more.
Tree 1, tree. Level 1, blind cool tech. Level 0, Mary Emerson closed, not checked. 2 of 4, space. Mary Emerson closed, checked. 2 of 4. Michael Tarino, logic assistance, space. 7%. Michael Tarino, logic
and
assistance limited.
We're just going to just
close, checked. 3 of 4.
Do these two. So we're going to go to the synchronize menu.
Menu, edit, iPod. Menu, select iPod, synchronize dot dot dot.
Okay, now when we hit synchronize...
Enter. Leaving menus. 313 view. Michael Haruno. Logic assistance limited. Close checked. 3 of 4. To move through or expand items, use the arrow keys. Vpod pull and synchronize changes dialog. Vpod will add 4 songs and 0 playlists, and remove 0 songs and 0 playlists. Ready to start? Yes button.
Okay, we want to do yes.
Space. 0%. 313 view. Michael Haruno. Logic assistance limited.
And if you have a large 25%. Amount of files... It will announce the progress bar, as long as you're focused on the window.
50%.
And as you hear the progress bar, it would be actually to your benefit to keep that plugged in a little bit after
100%.
The 100% mark, just to make sure all the files are completed. And that's the basics of this program. Now, to do the same thing, to remove the files, we're going to go back and uncheck these options here.
Space, 4%. Michael Tarino. Mary Emerson closed, checked. Space, Mary Emerson closed, not checked. Two. Level 1, blind cool tech closed, checked. 1 of 1. Space, 0%. Blind cool tech closed, not checked. 1 of 1. Men, edit, iPod. Menu, synchronize dot dot dot, enter, leaving menus, tree 1 tree view, blind cool tech closed, not checked, 1 of 1, vpod pull and synchronize changes dialog, vpod will add 0 songs and 0 playlists, and remove 4 songs and 0 playlists. Ready to start? Yes button to activate, space, tree 1 tree view, blind cool tech closed, not checked, 1
and
of 1,
that removed
the
items that we just added to the iPod. Now, I don't know, I think it will do the progress bar if you're deleting a lot of files, but... If not, it's not really going to announce it. So that's only when you upload will it announce the progress bar. And this software is by Jason Von Nita. Pardon, I had to pause that real quick to get the information. This program can be found at www.vonnita.org. V-O-N N-I-E-D-A .org/V as in victory pod. That's all one word. And I found this extremely useful. And until I found this program, I was ready to discard my iPod to the drawer and not really use it anymore. Just because of the fact I could not find a solid and accessible program. Hopefully this has been useful, and for more information on future podcasts and writings on my own website, you're welcome to visit Gradients of Sight at gradientsofsight.com. Thank you for listening.
Well, thank you, David. Very good review there. We're going to follow that right up with a review that Jamie Paul sent in using using iPodder to download the podcasts and then using iTunes to get them over to the Shuffle. One thing I'd love to see also is one of you guys or someone out there giving us a good comprehensive review of and demonstration of the Shuffle or any of the other iPod models. So here's Jamie Pauls.
Hello, Blind Cool Tech listeners. This is Jamie Pauls. Today I would like to talk to you about using iPodder with iTunes as the default player. Not so much because I want to play the podcast in iTunes, but because I want to actually put them on my iPod. I have an iPod Shuffle, and that makes things pretty easy. So I'm going to plug my iPod in to my computer.
iTunes, podcast, iTunes.
And when I plug the iPod in, iTunes comes up automatically.
Title is iTunes.
I can confirm that in fact it is loaded. I'm going to start iPodder, and I'm going to find Blind Cool Tech.
Double travel, subscribe, 7.0, Blindcast Talk Show, Blind Cool Tech, subscribe.
Going to tab over.
List view, not selected, downloading episode.
Downloading episode. Down arrow.
Sample rate vs. KBPS, the download, 9.18.
I'm going to download sample rate versus KBPS.
Hillcrest Halloween, the download, 9.
And the Hillcrest Halloween.
Pleasant View Ghost, downloaded, 7.
Pleasant View Ghost is already downloaded. So, tools.
Menu, tools menu, check all F5. Catch dash ups, check selected.
Check selected.
Leave menus, list view, Pleasant View Ghost downloaded, 7.8 http://www.
Silence the speech.
List view, not selected, graphic 258, sample rate vs. KBPS, downloaded, 0.0%, semicolon, 0.0KB/--line, 1/184, 0%, 1%.
And we're going to wait for it to download. And through the miracle of modern technology, it's downloaded just like that. And of course, you know as well as I do that it didn't happen that quickly. But there was no need in making you sit there and listen while I downloaded the files. So now we're going to go over to iTunes.
iPodder-podcast-studio-recorder-iTunes. iTunes. Podcast.
And I'm using the scripts provided by Brian Hartgen. You can get them from www.tntconsultancy.com. Or you can also go to www.hartgen.org, HARTGEN.org, /blindipod.html. And you can read about his resources there, subscribe to the email list that lets you talk about his scripts, plus a lot of other things that are related to audio. I'm going to move to the library in iTunes with Control Windows Key Alt plus I. That's called the iTunes modifier key plus I. I'm using JAWS version 7.
Moving to library, edit library, iTunes.
Now, there's two things I can do here. The first thing I'm going to do is press the letter J.
Jamie's iPod.
To get to Jamie's iPod, I'm going to tab over twice.
Edit. Item list.
I'm going to see what's already on my iPod. Nothing. That's convenient. One of the nice things about iTunes is if you empty out everything in the library, whenever you connect your iPod, anything that was on your iPod will be gone. That's a nice thing, and a not so nice thing if you don't know that that's going to happen to you. So again, anything that's missing from the library, if it's on your iPod, when you connect your iPod with or onto your computer, iTunes will erase that content from your iPod. As long as it's in your library, it will stay on your iPod. But if it's gone from the library, it's gone from the iPod. So I'm going to do two things. I'm going to tab over here.
Source list. Jamie's iPod.
Source list. Go back to the library.
Move into library. iTunes.
Tab twice.
Edit. Item list.
I want to see what's in the library first.
BCT 197 Hillcrest Halloween. 1120 Larry Scudgeon.
Hillcrest Halloween.
BCT 198 sample rate vs. KBPS. 1954 Rob Meredith.
And that's it. Now I could have a lot of other things in my library potentially, but in this case I don't. So I'm going to tab back over to the source list.
Source list library.
Another really neat thing that happens when iPodder
considers iTunes the default player. So iPodder thinks that iTunes is my default player, even though for audio I use Winamp 99% of the time. iPodder doesn't know that. So I'm actually going to press the letter B.
Between the lines.
Between the lines, iTunes creates playlists of all of the podcasts that you're subscribed to with iPodder. So you subscribe an iPodder, synchronize, or iTunes starts up. iTunes creates playlists with the different podcast names that you're subscribed to. So I'm going to press the down arrow.
Double Trouble.
Blind Double Trouble.
Blind Cool Tech.
There's Blind Cool Tech. I'm going to press Tab.
Edit.
Press again.
Item List.
Let's see what's in our item list in the playlist.
1. BCT 198 sample rate VSKBPS 1954 Rob Meredith.
There's our sample rate file.
2. BCT 197 Billcrest Halloween 1:1. Larry Sutton.
Because there are two files and I want them both on my iPod, I'm going to use the Select All command, Control plus A.
Select All.
I'm going to press Control plus C to copy.
Copy.
Press the Tab key.
Source List. Blind Cool Tech.
Press J.
Jamie's iPod.
To get to Jamie's iPod, press Tab twice.
Edit. Item List.
Press Control V.
Paste it. Updating iPod. Please wait.
Updating iPod. Please wait. As soon as this process is complete, which doesn't usually take terribly long, depending on the size and the number of files, of course, I will be able to disconnect my iPod from the computer, and I will be good to go. And I will have two new Blind Cool Tech podcasts to listen to. If I had downloaded... There, it's completed. If I had downloaded something from ACB Radio, maybe something else from Jeff Bishop, something from Republic of Avalon Radio, then I could go to that playlist and copy the files from that playlist and add them to the iPod. Everything is appended to the end of the iPod, so I'm not exactly sure how you go about moving files around on there if you want to do that. I'm not concerned myself with that at this point. I usually erase the contents of my iPod fairly frequently, so whatever the latest batch of podcasts that I'm listening to is all that is on the iPod at any given time. It's pretty handy, pretty neat. You can also, with these scripts, go to the folder in My Documents and My Received Podcasts, go to Blind Cool Tech, copy Windows Explorer style, press Control plus C, go to iTunes, go to the library, press Control plus Shift plus V, that's a special script command, copy to the library, and then you have to copy from the library to your iPod. So there are several steps involved if you don't have a playlist, or if you want to just copy something from elsewhere on your hard drive. It can be done, but as I just demonstrated, it's several steps. But if you are subscribed to a podcast in iPodder, iTunes is your default player, then iTunes starts when iPodder starts. There's a playlist with the podcast name. The files are automatically imported into the iTunes library, and they're nicely grouped in that playlist. So it's very easy to copy things to your iPod using the combination of iPodder and iTunes. The podcast subscribing facilities of iTunes are still very rough. They don't work terribly well, even with the scripts. And when Brian got turned on to iPodder, I think he honestly doesn't see the need to spend a lot of time banging his head against the wall trying to get those scripts perfect to subscribe to podcasts with iTunes when we have such a nice program with iPodder. So if you have an iPod or you think about getting an iPod, again, it's the iPod Shuffle. I got the 512 megabyte unit. I think it was $99 from Amazon, and it works great. So I hope you've enjoyed this presentation. If you have any questions, email me on the list or send a private email to Jamie Pauls, JamiePauls, @sbcglobal.net. Have a great day.
All right, Jamie. Thank you for the excellent demonstration of using iTunes. Both very good demonstrations, fellows. Really appreciate that. Let's get right into some feedback.
Hello, Larry. This is Buddy Liverman. You're keeping me up, man. Donald Ball told me about your website, and I've been up until about 2:30 last night listening to it. I'm impressed by your podcast, your knowledge of the subject, and that Eye River and the Olympus, they're good players and good microphones. I'm going to get me a couple of them, and probably going to get that mini-disc recorder, the PTR2 that RRTI.net sells. But I think I'm going to get them two players and a good microphone and probably the 957. You got a good show. Enjoy it. Thanks a lot. I'm impressed. And I like all the other submissions. Maybe I'll have something to contribute. This is Buddy from Asheville, North Carolina. Have a good day. Thank you, Larry. Have a good day now. Thank you a lot. Thanks a lot. I'm looking forward to the next podcast.
All right, thank you, buddy. Thank you, and we're looking forward to submission as well. Appreciate you listening.
Hi there, Larry. This is Chris Skarstad. You might know me from the Blind Casting List and other places around the net, and I've been a subscriber to Blind Cold Tech since the very beginning, and I've got pretty much all the episodes downloaded and saved on CD. And the one I particularly liked was your little review of the iRiver menus, because I happened to get one myself, and that was quite helpful. Actually, I listened to it right before I got some sighted help, and I was able to listen back to it, and pretty much got everything taken care of all in one shot. There were a few problems with some of the options being changed that we didn't know about at first, but we were able to go back and change them back to how they were supposed to be, and that was cool, so thanks for that. And also wanted to say thank you for giving a plug for the blind list that I run. At Freelist. That's a pretty low traffic list, and there is a plug-in that I know of to watch some TV shows. I don't know how it works with screen readers exactly, and I do know that Winamp has some video stuff built into it, and to me, it doesn't seem like quite the thing to do, but I do know that there are a lot of people who enjoy the video stuff, so it is out there. If you look around for different plugins on the winamp.com site, tons of plugins there, and if you know of other plugins on other sites, you can go there and get some too. The only thing you have to be careful about is sometimes these plugins have different windows that pop up, and you have to be careful about being able to use your screen reader's review cursor and being able to go through the windows and things like that. So just wanted to let you know about that, and hey, thanks again for the podcast, and keep it up. And by the way, that was great having you on TV like that and showing all your different little gadgets there, and having your laptop there to show the game. That was pretty cool. So thanks, man, and we'll talk to you soon, okay? Bye for now.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the information. For those of you that are not familiar, we had been talking about using Winamp to view shows recorded with the Windows Media Center. And it sounds like Chris and Lois and a few others of you pretty well have verified that it is possible. I still haven't changed over yet. I don't exactly know why. I probably should. I guess what it boils down to is I really don't even watch enough TV to bother with it, probably. I don't know. I kind of usually just have the TV going in the background in the mornings when I'm going through email and stuff to kind of catch up on the news. But thanks for the information, Chris, and we appreciate it, as always. And think about a submission, a career cast.
Yeah, hi, Larry. This is Ken Reed in Enfield, Connecticut. The question was asked about a good card reader. I've got a really nice card reader. It's called a Dazzle. I don't know exactly the model number, but at around $50, it's a Dazzle, and it accepts all of the cards Even Access Memory 6, everything. And it's a great one. And I don't know what else I was going to say, but that was the main thing. And keep up the good work, and I enjoy the show very much. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, Ken. Appreciate the information. I may have mentioned we bought a couple of USB 2.0 card readers at APH, and I'm really disappointed with them. For one thing, neither mine nor Rob's machine will boot while the card reader is plugged into the USB, so that's a real downside right there. But something that concerns me nearly as much is the flimsiness of the thing. When you put a compact flash card in there, it's just barely in there. I'm used to the one, well, I had an external one that just had a compact flash and SD. And then when I got this Media Center computer, you know, of course it's got it all built into it. So we'll check the Dazzle out. That sounds good.
Hey, Larry, this is Darren Duff, and I'm a big fan of Blind Cool Tech. I'm also a CNI graduate. I graduated with my first guide dog in February of 2005, and actually had a question for you. I think the show is great. I love listening to the podcast. I'm new to podcasting and actually interested in checking it out, getting into it myself. Because of your podcast on the Olympus, I've actually ordered a Olympus WS200S, and was wondering what kind of binaural microphones, external mics, you would recommend for that on a budget. I'm just kind of getting into it and, you know, sort of kind of trying to get my feet wet, but I do enjoy your show, your podcast, so keep up the good work, and if you want to email me or even if you want to call back or if we have Skype or something, I'd love to talk with you one-on-one about this thing.
All right, cool, man. First dog, huh? These microphones I'm using are from Sound Professionals binaural mics, and I actually love most things about them. The wires are kind of thin, and I don't like the fact that the correct way to wear them is in your ears. A lot of times I'll wear them above my ears. But if you want some more information about them, they just go to the Blind Cool Tech website and look under Frequently Asked Questions. And these particular ones that I'm using are around $70. But we've listed out some cheaper alternatives, and there's some reviews. Debbie Norling did one a few weeks back on some around $30 from Radio Shack that apparently sound pretty darn good. But these $70 ones, I'm totally happy with the sound of them. They're a little bit problematic in a car, actually, but other than that, they're pretty good.
Hello, Larry. This is Gary Glossinger. I just finished listening to episode 183, and I think the difference between the audio quality of the Olympus and the iRiver is due to the fact that the Olympus has that automatic gain control and the iRiver doesn't. I think that's the whole difference between the amount of loudness and or brightness of each of the files. This is only my opinion, and I'm not saying it's absolutely true, but, well, I gave you my thoughts. Keep up the good work on the podcast. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, Gary. You know, that was my thought, too, but I've since made some recordings with the Olympus DS2, and it actually also has the automatic gain control. In fact, you don't get a choice with the Olympus products. And it's not that. It's actually a difference in the highest setting for the KBPS. You know, as we mentioned many times by now, the DS2 went up to 128. The iRiver goes to 96 with the firmware upgrade. But the WS200S only goes to 64. And you know what? That's enough for a lot of things. I just seems like I can, maybe that's my hearing point difference. I can really tell the difference, and I like the greater audio fidelity when you can capture it at 128 or even 96.
Hey, Larry, this is Eric from Fountain Valley, and I just was listening to the initial part of the Sam's Tour podcast and the discussion of blind and sighted mixed relationships, and I've never been with a blind person in that way, in a relationship. And I've been I'm married now and was married once before, and both to sighted people, and it's been an interesting experience. And in fact, my friend and I, he is also blind, we used to have a standing rule that unless somebody just absolutely knocked our socks off, we were not going to date any other blind people because of the fact that it was just, we figured it was hard enough dealing with the challenges of being one blind person, but then having to compound that with having to deal with the inconveniences caused by two people being blind was just yowza.
You know, I don't know. I think there would be some advantages of two people being blind too. That's another great topic for discussion.
And like I said, it never did happen. But I find the hardest part is sometimes when my wife is trying to relate something to me, she'll sometimes see things and make assumptions about things that she assumes I'm on the same page that she is, and not the case. I'm trying to think of a good example of that. Like if she's saying something is to my left, I may be thinking that to my left means I need to actually turn to my left, whereas it may just mean it's in front of me to my left. If I reach my hand out toward the left, I'll fly. Things like that. That's kind of a bad example, but I can't think of anything else right now. It's better. So, but no, there's a lot of areas where she is very understanding about the fact that I don't know how to do a lot of maintenance around the house and that kind of thing. I mean, I've never even taken any independent living skills classes, so what I know is basically self-taught. I tried taking one once and found that it was not really very helpful. Maybe I just took the wrong one. Basically, it was a lot of it was, if you need help, ask someone. And I thought, well, geez, I already know that. And there are things I still have problems with, like cutting meat, cutting meat's a big one. I can do it, but it takes forever. So she's usually either have them cut it when I order food at a restaurant, or she's, I've got an amazing woman who doesn't think less of me if she cuts my meat for me.
You know, that's a very good point, Eric. There was a good discussion of this on the Marlena ACB show as well. And, none of us should be too proud to or ashamed to ask someone to cut your meat. I mean, if you're not comfortable doing that, what's the big deal? Now, in my particular case, I got to quit popping those peas. In my particular case, meat is no big deal for me, but I always get my girlfriend to cut my pancakes for some reason. So, and I'm not ashamed of it, and she doesn't mind doing it, and she doesn't think less of me, just like you said. I don't know why people would even worry about that.
I was going to ask if you could maybe take some submissions from people on how they handle certain aspects of being blind, but I thought most people who listen to the podcast are people who've been blind for a long time, and it would probably be something that most people would kind of shake their heads and say, well, of course.
No, I think that's a fantastic idea, man. Let's do that.
When they heard, but I would find it very helpful if people, I don't even know how most blind people deal with things like cutting meat. I mean, that's just one example again, but.
Well, let me just go ahead and give you my crack at that one. And one thing you have to realize is that, at least with me, I always make sure I have a napkin around because I'm going to touch that food at least a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to grope all over it or anything, but if I've got the fork in my left hand and the knife in my right hand, I'm also going to use, you know, I'm going to have my fingers down low on the fork so I can touch the meat with the same hand as the fork while I'm cutting. And it, you know, I don't mean groping all over it. I mean just barely touching it. I don't know, but I don't think a sighted person would even notice that you're touching it. Not that I would really even care or anything, but no, you're right, Eric. I think that's a great idea, man. I think we should make another segment out of that.
I mean, I've heard of blind people doing things like barbecuing.
Now that one I do all the time, and I actually tried to record a barbecue cast one time, and it didn't come out. But I will do it again. I love grilling, and I consider myself pretty darn good at it too.
I don't even know how in the world that works. But it's funny. I've been blind all my life, and yet there are so many things that I should know that I don't. And I found that. When with someone who can see, sometimes that can be helped, and other times, of course, it makes you a little bit lazy because.
Well, and there's the danger. I ran into that some with my first wife. You know, you get complacent and let them do everything. It is a danger.
You know, they. You don't have to necessarily be as independent. That's one thing that my wife Melanie and I have gone back and forth on is trying to explain to her why I would rather take a bus somewhere than have her go out of her way to drop me off and pick
exactly.
me up, that kind of thing, which
yeah.
she's more than willing to do. But for me, it's a question of being independent. I don't want to have to inconvenience her or interfere with whatever she might have planned for her day just because I want to do something. But for her, her opinion is that's kind of silly, and that it's, you know, she's like, she says, you know, I know.
Well, there must have reached the time limit on the voicemail. Appreciate the comments there, Eric. And, you know, while we're talking about relationships and so forth, I want to read a very thoughtful message that Jeff Armstrong sent in.
Hi, Larry. I'm listening to your Sam's Club tour. We have those here, too. We used to buy products for our businesses there. The prices there are usually lower than my suppliers charge me. I like to shop there because they have lots of tech stuff to look at. I don't like clothes shopping and that kind of stuff, which my wife and daughter are out doing right now. I think it's maybe a guy thing. My wife, Mary, is legally blind. When we first met, I had about 20/200 vision in both eyes. She had lost the vision in one eye and was very nearsighted in her other. I was farsighted and could see things around us very well, but could not read print smaller than about a half inch. She could read small print, but couldn't see very far away from herself clearly. We have always understood the difficulties each other faced in the world. I just think it takes a really caring person with a good head on their shoulders to be fully sighted and still be able to put themselves in another's shoes and understand what the blind person is going through. Over time, Mary had a cataract removed and went from nearsighted to farsighted. I lost the vision in one eye, and the other one had a cataract removed, and I slowly lost most of my vision. Hers has been pretty stable, but recently started acting up again with higher pressures and so on. The point is that we have been in constant flux with our respective visual abilities. We have always taken good care of each other and supported each other. That isn't just because we're both visually impaired, it's because we care about each other. I had a mix of girlfriends when I was growing up, some with 20/20 vision and some who were partially sighted. It didn't seem to be the same with all women or girls at the time. Some had no issues with my vision and seemed to treat me as just a man. Others had major issues with blindness, and one was even embarrassed for me to let on that I was partially sighted when we were out in public. Since I had already gotten good at acting sighted in my high school days, it wasn't that hard to do. Eventually, we broke up because she wanted to date sighted guys and I felt put down by her at every turn. Sometimes, I have noticed that people who are considered high partials, or have very little vision loss, tend to group together and avoid the low-visioned individuals and those who have lost all vision. I see people trying to fake having more vision than they do, and have even seen people trying to lie and say they saw something when they couldn't, just not to feel out of place. For example, let's say we're sitting in the living room watching a DVD with a couple we know. One person can see much better than the other and makes comments like, "Did you see that?" Dot the other one says, "Oh, yeah, that was wild." Dot or something else as nondescript as that which is supposed to indicate that they saw too. In reality, they didn't see anything the other person is referring to, but doesn't want to admit it. I think to myself, man, that's just stupid. We all know we're blind to one degree or another. Who cares how much, and why do these guys keep having to compare to each other? I always ask what is going on up on the screen. I can't see anything on the TV, and hope someone will see what happened, and tell me about it. So, my conclusion is that many people miss out on tons of important parts of movies or shows, because they won't reveal that they can't see it. Long way around to say that sometimes, the partially sighted people are the hardest for a blind person to deal with. It is somehow a big deal to them that they can see marginally better than someone else. It's really disturbing. I'll even hear other partially sighted people say things like, "My eyes are totally normal, but I just don't have insert phrase here." In other words, they want every other blind person to know that they are somehow better than them, because they could potentially get their vision back at some point. I'm not saying that all partially sighted people take part in this pointless behavior, but enough do so as for me to have seen it more times than I can count. I've even heard partially sighted say to me or others, "Man, you really are blind, aren't you?" Dot my usual reply is, "Duh." Dot it reminds me of a rap song lyric I heard once. "I never ran from the Klan, I shouldn't have to run from a black man." Dot this song was about unity in the black community and the prevalence of black-on-black crime. Dot it seems that when some people start to feel incomplete or incompetent, they need to put others down to feel better about themselves, and they end up losing friends in the process. It is cannibalism in a way. It's like, sure, I am blind, but not as blind as him or her. I've been calling people on this lately, and they all deny it, but others in the room say, "Oh, yes, you do." Dot I just used to feel lucky to have more vision to help my friends who couldn't see, but I must admit, I felt glad not to be the one with no vision. Now, I wonder, did I come off like that? Damn, I sure hope not. Mostly, I now see fully sighted people, motivated by good hearts, trying to figure out how to help a blind person, like me, when I'm crossing a street, or whatever. I sometimes think that I'm being disrespected, because the person doesn't believe that I can do it alone. But, I try to remember, they just don't know, and their heart says, "Help that person, you have something they don't, and you are a bad person if you don't help them." So, I have had to learn to shut my mouth sometimes, and accept help or politely decline and thank them. I used to get all offended about the offer. I think, mainly, that it was about pride. My desire to be seen as a man, not a helpless handicapped person. I just think that sometimes we're really hard on the fully sighted person. I finally came to this conclusion one day when shopping with my mother. She and I started out from the car towards the store. We were approaching the curb of the sidewalk in front of the store. I could still see the curb, but only if I was looking for it. I had a very small field of vision. I just happened to see it. My mom warned me about the upcoming curb and I said, "I'm not helpless, you know." Not just the store before that one, I had asked her why she didn't stop me from bumping into a post in the middle of an aisle in the store. It had made her feel bad. Well, after the second, opposite, reaction, she said, "Jeff, I just can't win with you." Dot that is all she had to say, and I thought back to all the contradictory statements I had made to her and others in my family who would try to help me get around better. It was like a bright light shining on my meanness. I vowed to change my confusing behavior. Now, I try to tell people thanks and not mention that I already knew what they told me or that I didn't. Or sometimes I'll just say okay. The truth, in the end, is that there are, indeed, some things we just can't do without vision. It sucks to have to admit it, or to rely on others to tell us what's going on in the visual domain, but we've got no choice in the matter. If anyone didn't want to help with that stuff, they would just say so. And, sometimes they do. My next step will be how not to get my feelings hurt when someone says no to reading something or looking at a screen for me. I've gotten a little thicker skinned about it, but there is more work to do on that subject. Jeff Armstrong, Bottom.
Well, thank you for the very thoughtful message there, Jeff. You raise a lot of good points and some interesting topics for discussion. Often I wonder if a person with low vision doesn't actually have a harder time in many ways than someone who is totally blind. And what I mean by that is just, you know, one of the things you were mentioning in your message, the trying to appear to be fully sighted. And this makes me remember a story or an incident that happened when I had first lost my vision, and I was going to what was then Arkansas Enterprises for the Blind, a rehab center in Little Rock, now called Lions World Services, I believe. But we were all going to go to the movies one Saturday afternoon as an outing, and I was holding on to the arm of a woman who was a partial, and we were walking in to the movie theater, and, you know, apparently it was fairly dim light back there, and we're clipping along at a pretty good rate, and wham, she runs right into a closed door. And, you know, it made me realize right then and there that, well, I already knew she was partially sighted, but I'll bet that kind of thing happens a lot with low vision people. It's one of those things where you can't really trust your sight in a lot of cases. Someone mentioned in a comment or another show, maybe, I don't remember where, about guide dogs and low vision. And I know the schools used to be reluctant about giving people with low vision a guide dog because they really weren't able to trust the dog in a lot of ways. So, you know, I know for a fact my dog gets me pretty darn close. I mean, I can feel the wall to my right or a sign passing by, but I've taken it that it's good enough as long as I don't hit it. But, you know, if you're looking at that, you're going to pull back when you see yourself coming up that close to a pole or a wall or whatever, and you start second-guessing the dog. And so, there's a lot of good issues on there, and we welcome you all's comments on any of those topics.
Inbox Outlook Studio Recorder 20698.
Hi, this is Jake from Illinois. I'm on the Blind Cold Tech email list, but I just wanted to leave a comment here. I just got through listening to a few more of the podcasts up on your website, Larry, and they sound great. In fact, my pair of headphones, I had these ones which were kind of lousy, and they kept falling apart. I'm not sure what brand they were, but a while ago someone took me to buy some Sony headphones. And I love them. They've got on the cord, there's a volume control dial and a switch that's, if you flip it one way, it's stereo, and the other way's mono. So it sounds really cool. So, anyway, just wanted to drop a line and, say great job and keep up the great work. Lots of interesting topics. Thanks, and take care.
All right, cool, Jake. Thank you. And, I hope we can actually get some more interesting discussions going. We sort of had a mini-thread discussion of blind versus sighted relationships or blind-blind relationships. I think this is a fascinating topic, and Lynette on her podcast also brought up a few issues. Really, really good podcast, by the way. I had been playing hers, but I suggest that you subscribe to hers, and it's in the best of the best zip file if you want to download it from the Blind Cool Tech website on the Frequently Asked Questions. She's got a interesting career, great voice. She just sang a song on her last podcast, and she's the one that you guys have heard here that did the walk down Lexington Avenue in New York City. And also, she had sent in a career cast. Really, really interesting stuff. But where I was going with this is there's also been a good show on ACB Radio Replay podcasts. Well, they also stream it. Paul Edwards, I believe, hosts a show, and he actually, the audio quality is not that great. It's a little hard to listen to, but he brings up some good questions and some interesting topics get discussed there. So if you get a chance, check that out. That podcast is also in the best of the best.
Sorry, Joe Quinn. I have a question again. Hey, a telephone. Oops, forgot to hang it up.
Come on, Joe.
Crap. What thing would be better? Noise-canceling headphones or those headphones with the big pads?
Depends what you want.
You know what I mean? Like the kind that APH sells with those big cups in the ears?
Yeah.
Or would noise-canceling headphones be better for blocking out noise? The problem I have with the big cup-ish headphones are that they're big and bulky. As I've stated in a Vibe review, which I have yet to upload. Actually, I have yet to finish it. But I will, so nobody else do it, because I want to. Thank you.
I like the...
what would be better, in your opinion? What do you think?
I like the noise-canceling ones.
So let me know. And one more thing before I go, by the way. Well, I will talk to you soon, Larry. Bye!
Actually, Bose makes a set of them. I haven't actually tried them out yet. But I've heard so many good things about them that they've got to be good. Unfortunately, I think they're around $300, so you may want to take that into consideration. If any of you other listeners know of some at a more reasonable price that have a good performance, though, you may want to drop us a note on the audio line or drop us a comment, 206-984-9203.
Yes, my name is Hank Smith from Spokane, Washington. And I wanted to say that I've been a new listener to your show. I've found you guys on whitestick.co.uk, and I have been a listener of Blind Cool Tech for 2 weeks. And I have to say, it is the most awesome show I've ever heard.
Well, cool.
There's some really interesting stuff on here, and some really good information just about stuff I didn't know about in general. And so I just wanted to comment and say, keep up the awesome work and keep the shows coming. I did have a question, and I was maybe wanting to know if you could kind of comment. I don't know if this has already been posted or not, but I figure I'll ask anyway. I noticed that you use the Neil Speech Hall voices, but I hear a beep, and I was just kind of curiosity if that is a sound on the computer that you have for a sound event, or if that is a... something that your computer itself does, and if so, what actually kind of computer is it? I'm just kind of curious because I've never heard a computer do that when checking email.
You talking about this beep, like this?
Anyway, so I keep
that's my clipping,
and I'll
That's the actual beep I think you're talking about that Studio Recorder makes as an audible clip indicator. And that helps me keep my levels down or alerts me when there's a clip. If I were actually listening to the recording with a different sound card than I was recording with, that beep would not get into the recording. It would just alert me to the fact that I was clipping, and that's the way they do it over at the studios at American Printing House for the Blind. That way the narrator actually gets a notification if he ever clips to let him know to tone it down a little bit.
This is Hank Smith from Spokane, Washington, and I have another question about one of your previous episodes. I don't know exactly the date of this one, but it's your review on NLS Digital Talking Books. I was wanting to know if you could comment on this on a later show or possibly on the next podcast in your feedback column. I was wanting to know if it is possible to get some of these magazines today before 2008 in digital format, such as Analog, Science Fiction, Fact, Smart Computing, and Asimov. And also, can you go into a little bit more detail on the players? I'm still listening to the current podcast, podcast on this review, but and you may have already mentioned this portion of it, but I was wanting to know if you'd be able to kind of go in, maybe do a follow-up on like some of the equipment that a blind person could get or that will be provided with digital books. So, yeah, I'm kind of really honestly interested to see if it'd be possible to get some of the stuff now, too.
Uh-oh, we got cut off there. I have heard, and I believe this date is correct, that the magazines will start becoming available in 2006, which isn't very far away, via download from the web. You will have to have an account with NLS, of course, much like the web braille works right now. You can play these, excuse me, you can play these with software on your PC that they will supply or that you can get from several other places, including APH is one of them. NLS is also designing a hardware player that will replace the cassette machines that we all know and love right now. That probably won't be out until 2008, though. In the meantime, I was very excited to learn that we will be able to download these books over the internet. I would much rather do that than do the physical media thing and the mail and so forth. So, the book port we keep talking about right on this show, that already plays those kinds of books. So that's a hardware player that'll do that. And there's several others that will if you'll burn them to a CD. And again, there's a lot of software players you just run on your PC.
Two things, Larry. This is Buddy in Asheville. I work at Industries for the Blind in Asheville. We make all kind of impulse merchandise stuff, and we bag it, and it's boring work. It's repetitive, but hey, it pays the bills. And number two, I get to listen to you in the morning. I'm gonna have my plant manager do a career sightseeing tour of the plant and describe it, and I'm gonna use my binaurals. I may let him use that T stereo microphone. That might be better. Number two, I have a question for you. Sorry, I don't mean to call you and bug you lately. I have a question.
Okay.
When I update the iRiver with the firmware, when I record, do I have to go to the menu and put it in voice to record with my microphone? And when I copy an MP3, does it put it in that folder, just wherever I put my music? And so say I copy some music from, I rip it with 192 kilobytes with CEXE or whatever program I use, and copy it to the transfer it, paste, copy and paste it. Does it put it in the record folder, or does it automatically put it in the music folder? Okay, what I want to know is when you record, when you mash record, when you set the options, it, assuming if you've updated the firmware, does it put it in the record? Do you have to use the joystick to find it, or when you mash play, how do you go about finding the record folder that you've recorded, and how do you go about finding the folder that you've... Am I getting you confused? How do you go about finding the folder that you put your music in?
I'm with you.
Say you've copied and pasted music from a CD to the iRiver.
So what you want to
do...
How
do you find the folder that has the music, and how do you find... How do you play back the record? I'm going to leave a 6-second test message in the record folder.
That's a good way
to
do it.
Use a joystick and memorize the menus. That's going to be a little tough, but I got the Olympus. I think I can do this one.
You just need to memorize the modes.
You hold the menu key down, I think, 3 seconds. And I had the maintenance guy at work is good at this stuff. He used to be an audio engineer. He had to set it to stereo. It didn't default to HQ stereo. It does now. But it was recording. I could hear the monitor in mono, and I could hear it, and it would record in mono, and I could hear it in stereo, and that was kind of baffling. I thought, wait a minute, I'll have to check the menus. I agree with you about this digital rights management. There should be a happy medium somewhere in between the two. The artist should be compensated, but the it's not fair to the consumer who doesn't know. And all this Metallica got kind of caught up in all that stuff. And people were selling CDs. I don't agree with that on the street. You know, that's wrong. That's dishonest. Everybody got on the WinMX board and downloaded some stuff. There's some stuff that's not available that was out of print and rare. I found a lot of Frank Zappa and Jimi Hendrix. I couldn't find anywhere else, but you couldn't buy. A recording engineer had recorded it. Somebody got a hold of it and put it on the internet. That's pretty...
Well, that's the problem. That kind of behavior is what is making it so difficult for the rest of us. To answer your question, though, about the modes, what you want to do is hold down that bottom button, the record button, for a few seconds. And then you can switch your modes. And there's music, FM radio, voice, and record. You pick one of those, hit your play button, and that puts you into that mode. And what, you know, if you're in the record mode, you make a recording with the external microphone, it's going to be in that record folder. And if you want to make a recording in with the built-in mic, you go to the voice mode, which is one up from record. It'll put it in the voice folder. If you're going to copy files over to the device to listen to, just drop them in the music folder. Actually, you can either put them on the root or in the music folder. Either one of them will work, actually. So, hope that helps. We are going to wrap it up for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. You're listening to the music of Andre Lewis.
www.blindcooltech.com. Send an email to blindcooltech@gmail.com or leave a comment on our comment line at 206-984-9203.